from the beginning of a service, you get to meet with God. You don't have to wait till the end. And so, you know, my prayer is that God will speak to you throughout this service and put things on your heart. I'm never sure really if God's speaking to me, but I felt God speaking to me earlier at the very beginning of the service. And what Jason said confirmed it to me. I felt God was saying to me, sometimes your body has to move first for your heart to follow. Sometimes you have to put yourself in the position to do something physically, and then your heart follows. I don't know if you've ever been invited to something, or you feel you should go to something, and actually you didn't really want to go, but you kind of went along, and then God really met with you in that place. And I was thinking that as we were singing those songs of praise earlier, that sometimes, I mean, I've been to a lot of football matches. I used to work for a football club who used to be quite good, but they're not very good now. And I've seen grown men, overweight and bare-chested on occasions, crying, you know, with their arms lifted high, begging for footballers to score goals and giving them praise and adulation when they do. You know, how much better to be in the presence of God than in the presence of a mediocre footballer. And so sometimes, you know, if we will our body, then actually our heart can follow sometimes. And it was wonderful, wasn't it, just to all raise our hands, because we're all serving the same God, and we can just sing it. You might be embarrassed sometimes to walk along the street and sing these songs of praise with your hands up. I sometimes do it. I have a little shame. But you might. But in this place, this is a safe place where you can do that. Okay, I've got a measuring stick here. It's not a measuring stick, it's a measuring tape, isn't it? B&Q value. Sometimes in our life, we think about, you know, what does it mean to be great? How can I be great? Or at least good. At least good. And sometimes we try and kind of do things, or trying to be things, to make... It's only value. To make our greatness even better. So we might work really hard on good things, like, you know, working hard at school and attaining things. Or we might work really hard on our hairstyle, so that, you know, we look presentable. Or we might work hard so that one day we can earn loads of money. Or we might try and please people by just saying things they like, even though they're not true, so that we become somebody who is popular and well-liked. And in the kind of the hope that maybe we can kind of have at least a good life, and maybe even a great life. But you know what? In God's kingdom, greatness isn't measured in those things. And we're going to look at what greatness is measured in, as we look at this series of what kind of king is Jesus and what kind of kingdom does he have. Let's turn to the Bible. And we're going to turn to the book of Mark. She's in the New Testament. It goes Matthew, Mark. In the church Bibles, Joseph, it's page 1016, which is loads. And we're going to turn to verse 35. Someone's left 5p on here for me. That is very... If anyone else wants to give me any money, it's very generous. Which chapter? Oh, 10. Chapter 10. Verse 35. Page 1014. 15? 14. 15. All right. Anyone else? Chapter 10, sorry. Chapter 10. I didn't even say what chapter. Chapter 10, verse 35. Thanks for coming tonight. Here we go. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. We're right. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. It's the kind of thing a four-year-old says to you. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I baptize with? We can, they answered. Jesus said, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit on my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared." When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." There's a book you can buy called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And lots of people have bought it. By my estimations and Google, 16 million people have bought that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I tried to find books about serving people. I found one called Serving Time and Serving Others. It only sold 30,000 copies. The message that we hear tonight and receive isn't one that's going to be a bestseller. The kind of greatness that God says isn't something that is going to necessarily be popular, but do you know what? It's true, and it's the best way. Sometimes being the greatest doesn't always look great. I said to a friend of mine, he's called Nigel. I said to him, "All the best in the half marathon on Sunday." And he said, "I'm going to need it, because the last time I did a race was a marathon." He said, "I lined up next to somebody who was dressed as a toilet and they beat me." Now, I don't know if it was earthenware or not, but he was gutted that he was beaten by a toilet. You'd probably think, good on him for doing that. But then you've trained for months. You've done hours worth of running and the toilet pips you. Gutted. But the good news of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, is about as different as it gets from the usual fight to the top. This is a question for you. Okay? So listen carefully, because I'm expecting some answers. Nathaniel, this is a question. What do people do? Sounds like a joke, but it's not. What do people do to make sure that they get the privileged position, or to make sure that they win? It could be something small, like getting to the sweets first, or it could be something like making sure that they are at the very top of the company. What do some of those people do to make sure that they win, they get the privileged position, and other people don't? Okay? Turn to the person near you. What kind of things might people do to make sure that they get the best? There's always one. Sam Draycott just said, "What's the question?" Unbelievable. Okay, now Sam's got to try and work out the question from the answers that we give. Okay? Right, Mortimer.
Take steroids. Camp out overnight.
Run really fast so they get to the front of the queue.
Hurt someone.
Skip the queue.
Point out other people's mistakes.
Cheat.
Yeah, didn't they? Who's ever done any of those things, including taking steroids? No. Is there an... I've got... Lord. Clearly. Sam, what's the question? Yes! Give a round of applause. Well done. Well done. Well done. It's been a busy week, I'm sure, Sam. My dad's on steroids, but that's for a condition rather than... intimidate, undermine, lie, cheat, flatter, bully, self-proclaim, put others down. Change sides, depending on who's winning. I think we've all done that. You know, ask a 7-year-old who they support. It depends who wins the title. And this really is completely opposite to the kind of kingdom that Jesus is describing, the kind of king that he says he is when he says he's come to serve. So in this story here, we've got two main characters. Did you get who they were? They were right at the beginning of the passage. Do you remember who they were? They were James and John, sons of Zebedee's. Boing. These two brothers, James and John, bruv and bruv. And we read that they come to Jesus and say, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." That's kind of the opposite, really, of what Jesus is going to say. We want you to do stuff for us. Not just can you do something specific, can you do whatever we ask? A bit like they want to come to God and just say, "Right, I've got a wish list. I want a pony, I want a Formula One car. Oh, these are the things that we want you to do for us." Essentially, they're asking, can we sit in the front? Which is a question I often get asked quite a lot in my van because it's got 3 seats in the front. Can we sit in the front is what they're saying. They're positioning for power. They're making sure that they're in the right place at the right time. They get the sense that something big is happening, that Jesus is going to win. And when he wins, he has this kingdom, he's going to reign. And they want to be there and they want to have the best seat in the house when Jesus reigns as king. So they thought if they ask now before anyone else asks, and that's one way you can do it, isn't it? Ask first. I did ask first. Or the thing with Jesus might say, well, James and John, they did at least ask. You didn't even ask, so they can get the best position. Now Jesus was very gentle with them, and essentially in his response, he says, "Really?" He says, "You don't know what you're asking." Like a father might gently rebuke their small child. You don't really know what it is you're asking for. And they go, "Yeah, we do." They say, "Yeah, we can do what you're asking us to do." And Jesus is saying, it's not the fact that your question's so wrong. It's the fact you don't really understand the kind of king I am and the kind of kingdom that I'm building. My kingdom is different and perfect. And he senses, Jesus, that it's not just James and John that haven't really got it. Because he decides to call them all together. That's what he does. He gets the 2 and the 10, and that makes 12. What did you say? 12, good. 17. You're just being silly. It makes 12. These are the 12 disciples Jesus has. And he gets them together. And he gets them together because the other 10 are angry. Have a look at verse 41. It says, "When the 10 heard about this request that James and John made, they became indignant with them." That means they like can't believe that. "We're so angry at you." Why do you reckon they were angry? Because they wanted it. You're right. They didn't go, "I'm so angry. Why would you ask Jesus this? Don't you understand what kind of king he is and what kind of kingdom he has? You got it so wrong." And they're going, "I can't believe they asked first. I bet now he's going to say, yeah. And then I only get like the second row. Why didn't I ask first, James and John?" They're not angry because they think they've missed the point. They're angry because they got in there first. Jesus is saying, no, it's completely opposite. Opposite. Have you ever done, say to someone, "Have you done your teeth?" Done your teeth, right. And they go, yes. And you look at the toothbrush and think, surely, you haven't. And they go, oh, yeah, but it's opposite day. So have you done your teeth? Yes. Does that mean no? Yes. I hate opposite day. Yeah? Oh, you're right. It's not opposite day then, isn't it? You see, there's no... Oh, opposite day confuses me. Now, although it's the worst game ever, Jesus essentially is saying, it's opposite day. You think that actually following Jesus is about getting all you can get. But actually, it's the complete opposite to that. These brothers, they want power and prestige. They want to have position in order to be over other people, to have people suck up to them, to have influence so that the people can do things that are good for them. And Jesus says to him, do you know why it's so bad? Because these are the people that are going to kill me. The people that in authority that are looking out just for their own interests, they're the ones that I'm going to be handed over to. They're the ones that are going to try me and cheat and make stuff up. And they're going to be the ones that change sides. Those are the people that are going to kill me. And actually, do you remember John the Baptist, our friend? They did that to him too. So you want to be like the people that are going to kill me and persecute us? You want to be like those people? Just because you think the world says they've got it all? Well, you're wrong. Jesus is essentially saying, who do you want to be? What kind of person do you want to be? A bit like Jason said earlier, about sometimes we kind of worry about what people think before we do stuff. And what I sense God was saying to me about sometimes it's about putting your body in a place first of all, and then the heart following afterwards. And as David said this morning about following Jesus and living an obedient life, you know, fleeing from temptation, being somebody that forgives. That's about practice. Jesus says, who do you want to be? Because if you want to be somebody who's going to serve others, you've got to practice that. If you want to be somebody who loves Jesus and loves other people, then you've got to practice that. Let's have a look at verse 43. We'll start with verse 42. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. What are the four words Jesus then says in verse 43? Have a look. What is it now? Not so with you. There'll be people, and the majority of the people that you meet in your lives who aren't following Jesus, that'll be their pattern. That'll be the way they try and live their life. They'll be self-serving. They'll be looking out for their own interests. You know, our schools often encourage people to do that, don't we? You know, we're kind of like saying, what do you want to do? And what are your goals? And what are your visions? And how much money do you want to earn? Then you should do this. Not so with you. It's not about your own interests. Not so with you. Following Jesus is different. We might go, oh no, that's terrible. Why would I want to do this? Jesus says this is much, much better. This is the kingdom way. And we know young people, don't we, by looking at Revelation, that Jesus wins. We know that Man City might have won the League Cup. But tomorrow no one's talking about that. But we know Jesus wins, not just today, but for all eternity. Jesus wins. And if we want to be in his kingdom, with him as king, then we need to practice this kind of kingdom living. In God's kingdom, greatness is not measured by your apparent success, beauty, or wealth. Which for some of us might be good. But it's measured by your ability to live as a servant, even to the point of suffering oppression at the hands of those who hold power over you. It's to live as a servant. Well, actually, the Bible here says, in verse 44, it says, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." Yeah, it kind of even makes that idea of kind of putting others first even greater, doesn't it, than servant? Slave of all. And in verse 45, which brings it all together and points us back to Jesus, it says this: "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to..." Good. "But to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This kind of breaks the idea, doesn't it, of like greatness trumps all. Like greatness wins. Because actually, Jesus, who came to serve, suffers. And not indirectly, like some of his followers suffer for following Jesus. Jesus himself suffers. But this isn't just an example, and it is an example. Jesus says, be like this. Be a servant to other people. Put other people first. But it's not just an example, because there's another word in here that means that Jesus does something through his suffering. What do you reckon that word is in verse 45 that means Jesus does something? What do you reckon? What's the word? Ransom, good. I was going to say it rhymes with something then, like nansom, which isn't a word. Ransom, yeah. It says that Jesus, the Son of Man, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This ransom, Jesus' death, does something. It does loads of things, actually. It changes history. And it can change us. It breaks the power of lots of things over us. First of all, it breaks the power of people over us. It means that actually our role in life isn't just to serve other people and to be at their, the consequence of their authority, but actually it means we live under a different authority, under Jesus' authority. So we can serve people, but first of all, we're serving Jesus as we serve people. It also breaks the power of evil that is at work in this world, that tries to resist everything that God is trying to do, and breaks the power of evil in our lives. So actually, we're not master of evil. We're not the master of selfishness and desires. We are under Jesus' rule. And ultimately, this ransom breaks the power of sin and death over us, so that actually we have forgiveness and life everlasting. Jesus becomes a servant not to lose, but to win. And Jesus says that actually, if you want to be great, do this too. Serve other people. Even Jesus did it. Now, I said at the beginning, it wasn't going to be a bestseller. And, you know, and you might not kind of chest pump on the way out and go, come on, let's, yes. Success, greatness is mine. Well, I'm glad, really, because actually it's not about that, is it? It's about seeking first the interests of others And laying sometimes our own interest on the line. And as we kind of reflect on that and think, well, what is God saying to me through this? Maybe he's saying some of these things. Maybe you're somebody who reads this about what Jesus has done in giving his life as a ransom for you, and they say, that's terrific. You know, what a wonderful thing that somebody would be so kind to do that. But actually, we only receive that ransom if we choose to receive that ransom by believing in it and trusting in it and saying, Jesus, you did that for me. Because it says here, as a ransom for many, for all who will call on the name of Jesus. And maybe tonight you need to receive that ransom and saying, you died for me, Jesus, so I don't have to live under the power and authority of sin anymore or other people. I can live under your rule. Maybe for some of you, you need to be patient. And David used this phrase, and I use it with my family, and I use it in my workplace all the time. And that's the definition of patience, as waiting happily. Waiting happily. Maybe we just want to kind of grab stuff and get stuff. And maybe there's a little bit of steroids and biting. And maybe there's a bit of kind of pushing other people back or stealing or cheating or all those other things. And actually, maybe we need to find contentment in where God's placed us in at the moment. And to serve him there without thinking, if only I was in their position. If only they wouldn't, you know, if I could, metaphorically, maybe, and I know Katie's mentioned this before, about where we need to be thankful as an attitude and a choice rather than a response. Jude gave me a Jaffa cake earlier, and I said, thank you. That was a response for the thing he'd given to me, but maybe actually thankfulness is an attitude we can choose to adopt. We can practice an attitude of thankfulness so that we're not necessarily somebody who's always trying to get. We can find contentment in the things that we have. And lastly, and we talked a lot about service, and we're going to sing a song in response in a moment about Jesus, how he is the servant king. And maybe we need to think, how can we actually practically serve other people as a life calling? Where can we put other people's needs first? And you will find you are blessed because of it. Because God's in it. God's got the best intentions, as David said this morning. You know, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, prepared in advance for us to do. So God has the very best for you in those things. But maybe there's something tonight, or something really obvious tomorrow, or this week, where you know you can serve somebody else and put their interests first, but you'd rather not. Because that's us. And we need God in that to do it. We need God in all these things. And so this is the time now to say, have your way. We've read your word. We understand what you're calling us to. It's really, really hard. And we're going to need you, God, to help us do this. But we want to be people that live out God's word. Are we? Yeah, we are. So let's ask God to help us to do that. And during this time, it may be that you want to pray for each other as well. Because this is something we need each other to help and cheer each other on. So it's an opportunity, as the song's played, to be prayed for. If you want to be prayed for, then some of us will be at the front and you can come and ask for, you know, particular kind of enabling in a certain area in your life. There's people around you. Maybe if you're, you know, if there's people here that serve in the youth that also want to kind of, you know, see if we can pray for each other in these areas, that'd be wonderful. So maybe you need to receive or be patient. Maybe you need to be thankful. And maybe you need to serve as Jesus serves us.